everyone, and welcome to A Generational Thing Podcast. I'm your host, Natalia Latham.
And I'm your host, Angela Latham. We're coming to you today in a little different way than we anticipated. We had planned for this day's episode to be about mean girl feminism. And we are excited to tell you that Mean Girl Feminism is coming. Yay! We just had a delay in being able to record it due to some health issues. And so we're just doing a quick update for you, some smaller subject matter, more informal, and just saying hello, keeping the flow going on those Sunday drops as promised.
Yes. Just, you know, consider yourself sitting in on one of our gossip sessions, okay?
the kind of phone calls we have between each other. Yes.
Girl talk, if you will.
Right.
But yeah, it's that.
Yeah.
We're both very, 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 very excited about that. So we hope that you are too. And if anything, keep building up that anticipation for this upcoming episode with the author of Mean Girl Feminism, Dr. Kim Hong Wen. She's a total slay. So hope you're ready.
Oh, very much so. We are so excited. This is just our little, I don't know, appetizer. We use that.
Yes.
We use that word.
Taking it back to a place of food. Yes, this is the appetizer for that.
Yeah. And meantime, I would like to say that with this Women's History Month, these episodes, we have been trying to live out our feminism as best we can. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, are there any great feminist moments that have occurred to you, have happened to you, anything you want to talk about, anything you've seen? But what's up with you, girl, on that?
Yeah, every single day of my existence is a great feminist moment. No.
That question sounds like it must have been an insult, huh?
That was kind of a mean girl response, was it not? Let me take it back
for
a minute. Yes, there are many, many, many a great feminist moment, but one in particular that just happened this past Sunday at the time of this recording was the Oscars. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes. In
particular, and yes, I texted you about this with a video clip because I was so moved by it for some reason. Emma Stone accepting her Oscar for best actress in Poor Things,
right.
Which
yes.
I have yet to see. That's definitely on the agenda for me. I've been wanting to see it since it came out because it just looks so visually intriguing.
Oh, yes, it is. It very
much
is.
Yeah. Have you seen it yet?
I have, actually, and I feel really proud to say that because I feel like I do not keep up on movies as I should, but mm-hmm. No, I saw that and found it quite riveting in lots of different ways.
Well, maybe that'll be another talking point for whenever I finally do see it, but just her vulnerability in her acceptance, the fact that her dress was broken, and she was like, my dress is broken, someone fix it, please.
Oh, the transparency, right?
I know, right? She's just so precious. And I think, well, the thing that mostly got me feeling so emotional about it, I think, is the fact that all of these women that had won the award before were up there to present it. And
I love that.
I love all of them, in love with them. Jennifer Lawrence, Sally Field,
yes.
Michelle Yeoh, Jessica Lange. Who
right.
else was it?
I don't know, but when you just reminded me of something, I'm so glad to have a chance to point out to somebody else. What is Sally Fields doing? When I was watching that section, did you see her trying to grab Jennifer's dress and keep pulling her back? It was like she would just yank on her dress and try to get her to move
that.
Back.
I did see that. I was like, I think that they were just getting in place, but it was kind of a funny thing to watch.
I know. Talk about a generational difference there. It's like Sally clearly felt her authority on that. It was like, here, girl, get
right?
back here. This is where you're supposed to be.
Honestly, as she should. But no, just like the women supporting women of it all.
Right. I love that too.
I was like, I love women.
Yeah, no, I like that whole bit that they did with several of the awards where they had each person to you know, to speak to the person being nominated.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy all the Best Actor awards too, and I ended up my husband. Mm-hmm. I ended up with Cillian Murphy's Dreams, not unpleasant, mind you.
Oh, lucky you!
Oh, but I just you know, the minute they started showing trailers almost a year in advance that Oppenheimer was coming out, and I saw that he was starring in that. Of course, you know, you and I were both fans.
Oh my God!
Peaky Blinders.
Yes. Oh my God,
and
yes.
If you're listening and you haven't had a chance to watch The Peaky,
pause right now, go watch it, come back to this episode later.
No, they'll never come back. Don't tell them to do that.
Oh my
that.
God,
it's
no,
way
you're so
too
right.
Exciting.
No, you're so right.
Yeah. But fair warning, it does have a lot of violence and mayhem. And, you know, it's really almost like watching The Godfather, only set it in... what, Ireland in the 20s or something?
In Birmingham,
yeah.
In like the 19-teens, 20s. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It ends up being later, but when they start, it's even earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what decade it starts in, but oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
That, he was just so different in that role, too, that I love to see that transformation.
I know.
Be that as it may.
Well, you can't just mention this dream and then not tell us about it.
Oh, no. We're not going there.
That tells me all I need to know. Okay, moving on. All right, Miss Girl, tell me about some great feminist moments for you, if and you don't mind.
Okay, well, this is kind of, speaking of, you know, mean girl feminism and feminism in general and white feminism, whatever. I have to bring up right now what I consider sort of a nice girl ? Parody. and also what made for bad comedy something like that. Certainly SNL did their best, but nothing could be actually as comic as the original. But Katie Britt, okay, I know everybody's hating on her this week, and maybe I'm being a mean girl to do so too.
I think that's justified.
I'm actually a little conflicted about it, but I will say that the ways in which her speech just sort of triggered me. I really didn't understand it quite. I was driving home from a play rehearsal thinking, I wonder how the State of the Union went. Bet there's some talk about it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I hear this voice and I start to almost tremble. It's like, oh, what is that? What's
You're like,
wrong
am I
with
back
her?
In church?
I did almost. It was just this visceral reaction I had to the way that she was speaking. And I finally, as of today, thank you, my longtime friend Kate, have figured it out more fully. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, the made up story about the sex trafficking girl that she seemed to have met right there on the border during the Biden administration and all of that. It wasn't just that lie and the way that she did all of that and some of her talk about, you know, in vitro fertilization, IVF, and how that she's so for that. But yet, you know, you can't take the position life begins at conception, at the embryonic state. I don't see how you can square those two ways of believing. Yeah, we believe life is sacred as an embryo, and we also believe in IVF. So, you know,
because
that those processes have some, you know, conflicting aspects of them. So set aside all of that. But back to Kate, I got a text from my dear friend Kate. She said, "Fundy baby voice. It's a thing." And I immediately I'm ashamed to say that I did not recognize the term, but it's been a thing for a while.
Really?
And
it's an actual thing.
It's a thing. Yeah.
Oh,
and I you know, consider myself pretty well schooled on things that are culturally related to fundamentalist and evangelical Christianity.
Yeah.
But when she sent me those three words, I immediately knew, oh, Katie Britt. Yeah. I did, because that I realized was why I probably recoiled. And I went on a whole search down rabbit hole after rabbit hole and found, you know, clips of her speaking in her normal voice in the Senate role and then speaking on that that very contrived speech she made as a rebuttal to President Biden's State of the Union. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, and then there was a bunch of stuff on social media showing, you know, other people who speak in the Fundy baby voice. And it's a, it's a form of, I don't know, I guess, nice girl voice that people try for and use in certain religious cultures. And I recognize it from growing up, and I've probably used it myself. I feel like I've been out of evangelicalism so long that I'm really, you know, when I look back to when I was a member of that culture, and that was the way women often talked, especially if they wanted something, whether from God or a man or a child or whatever, that was very much recognizable, but we didn't have a name for it when I left. But in subsequent decades, I guess people have, you know, I guess with social media, that's become a recognized performance component.
Well, and also like I'm thinking of Michelle Duggar, you know, 19 Kids and Counting. She always just talks in this little baby voice where she's just so kind. And it's like, okay, woman, come on. You've had 19 children. I know that you can speak like a woman, okay?
The funny thing is I just suddenly went back to my speech teacher days, and I remember trying to teach students about the use of the voice as they gave speeches to, you know, think about tone and range and pitch and all of those things. And I did actually try to talk to women in the class and remind them that there is this thing that women sometimes do. And I do think it extends sometimes beyond evangelicalism, but it's perhaps most recognizable in some of these things that we're seeing. But you know how, you know, you pick up the phone and suddenly it's like, oh, hi, how are you? Oh, you know, and I would always
Everything goes up like an octave higher. Yeah.
What is that? Don't do that.
It's so
embarrass yourself.
literally, like it's so like infantilizing. And, you know, I'm guilty of doing that sometimes, too. But I wasn't familiar with this speech that she had given in response to the State of the Union. But I just watched it before we hopped on here. And it gives me secondhand embarrassment in a way.
Right.
Not only her voice, but I'm like, girl, you're OK. You can stop smiling now. It's just like even that component of it, too.
Right.
It's just so it was kind of uncanny, honestly, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's really hit a nerve in society and culture. Let's just say, maybe I'm living in a bubble, but it seems to me that has been sort of across the board been making the rounds on a lot of the news shows podcasts.
Well,
and
it's also it's such questionable, obviously questionable taste too. Oh, she's a woman and she's in the kitchen and she's talking about, you know, how her family like gathers around this table to have difficult conversations, to pray, and where her and her husband are often finding themselves very worried. Okay. Yeah. Like I just, it's giving like 1950s housewife in a way, you know?
Well, and she's a U.S. Senator. And just what? One of the recent episodes, I was like, more women in the Senate. Well, now I'm not so sure.
Well, maybe not this one in particular.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, of course. She's not every woman, is she?
No, she is not.
Anyway, that's probably enough beating her up.
I think
sure
we've given Katie Britt enough space on this podcast.
I guess so. But anyway, like, how about how's work going? Anything going on there?
How am I supposed to transition to that after that? Okay, here we go.
We're not transitioning today.
No, we're not. This is stream of consciousness. Thank you very much. But work is going great. Thank you so much. Here
good.
I am with my Fundy baby voice. No, it's going really well. I got to say, much better than it has been the past week or two or so. Not to get too deep into it, but I discovered that I was not making the wage that I thought I was making whenever I first got hired onto the job. Of course, that was a big shock. A bit tear-jerking as well, because I was like, how could this possibly have happened? But after speaking with my boss and everyone who is involved with payroll and everything, it was discovered that it was not my mistake, it was their mistake. And so I got my restitution for that finally, and it was a pretty nice check. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a little savings account.
Literally. I was like, the way that I could just drop a bag into my savings and not even have to worry about it, you know, that was nice. So,
to feel good. Yeah. And I'm so glad it wasn't any kind of a big drama or anything.
I know, me too. Cause like there was no, on either end, there was no correspondence or nothing in any kind of documentation or writing to show that, which has also been corrected and fixed. So there's going to be some kind of something in writing to show this is my job, this is my wage, these are my responsibilities and everything. So feeling very thankful for that. But the way that I was, man, I hope these guys believe me, you know, because that's really all I had to bank on. But
Well,
still love my job regardless. Still love it.
Sure. Yes. And you're obviously believable and a hard worker. And so everything.
Well, I got my theater degree, you know, of course I'm believable. Speaking of theater, I know that you have got some work going on over there too, girl.
That's right. Yeah. Other than the drive home, it's been very, very delightful so far. We're not too far in it. You know, we've got about a 6-week rehearsal period, and it plays at the end of April. It's just a lot of fun, though, to be working with professional actors. And, you know, it's a play that's set in the 30s. It's new. My character, of course, I'm the oldest one in the room, the rehearsal room. I'm definitely feeling the generational thing right now.
Physically, but maybe not spiritually. Okay.
No, they haven't yet learned how young I am in spirit. But anyway, hopefully. But my character is, of all things, a 30s dressmaker. At least that's what the history record shows of her.
Wow.
And I'm drawing on my deep pool of domestic tragedy for this role. Let's just say.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. Well, sort of. I mean, it's a very intense role. But, you know, it's a great challenge. The last role I did was kind of a Cruella de Vil style character. In a play last fall. And so this is as far from that as you could get. And, you know, no parody or exaggeration. It's all about nuance and sincerity and realism. So it's great. And 30s costumes are among my
favorite. Oh, my God, yes. Hey, speaking of the 30s, just real quick. I know I told you this the other day, but I'm currently wearing my flapper jewelry that I got from work at an auction the other day. So I'm feeling you, girl. I'm feeling you.
Yeah, okay. I see. It's beautiful. No, I thought, what are you so gussied up for here? It's just us. Then I remembered you came from work for this.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. So you've got anything you're looking forward to?
Oh, every day is something to look forward to, right?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah, a few things, actually, just a few like ongoing things, kind of. I recently, taking it back to our mental wellness episode, I have started going to therapy again, and I'm really, really loving it. It's like, I think I said in that episode, I've gone to therapy whenever there was like some kind of crisis-like situation, but now it's more so just for, I guess, like processing like things that I've experienced, things that I am experiencing.
Sure.
In a not so crisis-like way. So that feels really good. I love my therapist. Shout out to Raquel. She's a queen. But yeah, that's been really good. And well, one of the things she's kind of helping me process, I guess, is being able to finally live on my own after the lease at my house now is up. So I'm also in the process of looking for an apartment. Ideally, I would like to have a house since that's what I've had since I moved out of my parents' house. Of course, with roommates, it's been since then. But I found some really beautiful historic apartment buildings here in Indianapolis.
Sure.
So
feeling
very excited about that. And
That's great.
Oh, thank you. It's another another great thing about finally, you know, getting my restitution from payroll is, oh, I see I can actually afford to live on my own now, too. So that's great. One last final quick thing for anyone who's feeling nostalgic about their quote unquote younger days, quote unquote good old days. There's hope for you out there, my friend, because I have discovered that Indianapolis has an adult prom. Okay.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's called the Smiley Prom. It's hosted by like a radio, like this guy that owns like a radio station or hosts a radio station or whatever. Literally adult prom, exactly what you're thinking for prom, but just, you know, adults.
Are you going to go?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's like it's sometime in mid-April. I don't remember the exact weekend. But I'm very excited about that. I've been doing some dress shopping for that.
And, oh, that's lovely. That's so much fun.
It's well, going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it will be, because I only ever went to a prom as an adult, so I don't know how thrilling that was. Yeah, because back in the day, I wasn't allowed to go to dances, you know, so, oh, here she goes again, they're thinking, right? but Julie, yeah. I was so thrilled when Al got a job at a high school at one point, and a lot of the faculty administration would attend prom
like
to help supervise.
Yeah.
And so I got to go to a prom for the first time. I remember how thrilling that was. And
love that.
I personally have a very different sort of activity to look forward to. Hardly
well,
a prom.
Lay it on me.
Yes. This week, in fact, in just a couple of days, I'm driving up to Salado, Texas, where the New Braunfels Area Quilt Guild will be having their annual spring retreat. Talk about it like a little old lady activity, no?
Oh, my God.
I shouldn't say it that way.
Because it's not.
No. Some of the best quilt artists, textile artists are very young and artsy and all of that. And I'm just glad to be able to focus. I find I don't get nearly as much sewing and quilting done as I would like. And so for me, it's almost better to just designate a time when these different guilds that I belong to between here and Wisconsin have a retreat that I'm like, okay, I'm in. And so it'll be fun to get to know people better and do all that kind of thing. And
the fact that it's called a quilt guild, it's something about that is just like humorous to me.
Quaint.
Quilt guild.
Well, I can tell you why, though. It's because they are, well, there's a certain level of craftswomanship involved, but you get to be designated as a guild as opposed to just like a quilt group or a quilt hangout or whatever, quilting bee, or, you know, they don't really say that much anymore. But a guild is typically a 501c3, a nonprofit in like the towns where I've been able to connect with these things, because they actually make things for the community. So blankets that go to people who are in shelters, or toys for kids who have a parent or a grandparent in a hospice situation, just as encouragement, or walker bags that you can hang on a walker for people in assisted living or elderly or care homes, those kinds of things. So that kind of community service piece allows that sort of nonprofit status. And of course, it's not all that quilt guilds do, but that's why you hear the name. It's more of a formal name. This is a pretty big group, not for the retreat though, but the membership on this thing is close to 200.
Oh wow! So, and all y'all girly pops are going to be out here, or is it just like to sign up? You had to sign up for it. Or...
Yeah, I signed up for this thing last summer. I mean, it's a hot ticket.
She has been looking forward to this for a while.
It's 20 people got in, and there's a waiting list. And if I were to get hit by a truck tomorrow, somebody would be in my spot, you can be sure.
Well, feeling happy and thankful for you that you were able to make it.
Oh, yes. I made the
cut
somehow.
That's going to be so much fun. Good for you, girl.
Well, and the only other thing I'm going to mention, and this is on behalf of both of us as we kind of close out here, is one other big thing to look forward to, and that is, you know, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we have another big interview coming up. It will be in an episode at the very end of this month. Mm-hmm, but it's exciting that we will be talking to Bart Campolo, is a name that maybe some of our listeners will recognize, at least the last name. And we'll say more about him in upcoming promotion and so forth. But just want to lay it out there that that's starting to get closer on our calendar. And so that is something else we're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to, because love having a guest with us. It's fun to chat between ourselves. But a couple of episodes coming right up that are going to just broaden our world a little bit.
They're going to knock your socks off, you know. I mean, speaking of things like looking, like to look forward to, I mean, like just, you know, as we mentioned at the beginning of this, our next episode following this one will be our interview with Dr. Kim Hong Wen for her book, Mean Girl Feminism. And then directly following that, we have this interview with Bart Campolo. And I just got to say, like, I am so proud of us, what we're accomplishing here, this little endeavor of ours, as we've called it.
It's been fun, too. We'd love to hear from you, get your feedback, get your ideas for topics. We work on this and think about it a lot. We're hard on it, and we hope it shows. But we also are kind of having fun, I think, with just this little tidbit we're offering today, just because we wanted you to know that you could pretty well count on every other Sunday you've got a new episode.
Yeah.
Now, that may change during our little hiatus over the summer. Fair warning. Everybody gets a little break. But for now, we wanted to be sure that you got something from us today.
Yes.
And then you've got the next 2 weeks in a row, you will also have new material from us. So we hope you enjoy it. So, girl, I'm about talked out on chit chat.
Me too.
You have anything else? Okay.
Nope.
All right. Well, okay. I got to go pack for my quilt retreat. So
I got to go love on this cat crying at the door for me. So,
right.
You have fun with that, girl.
Yeah, you too. All right. I love you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.